Friends, I'm Tabby.
And I'm Caitlin, and today we are discussing The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. And let me tell you,
what a weird book.
What a weird little book. And it's kind of, it's more like a short story, but it's creepy.
It is a little spooky.
Yeah. I loved it though. This is my first time reading it. I had never read it before, so I'm not sure if people do have to do this for school pretty often, but I never did.
And I'm sorry if you do. Well, actually, no, I'm not sorry, because it is good. And like, for the 45 pages of its content, it's worth the read.
Yes, I would say so. I mean, it only took me like 30 minutes to read it.
Especially if you love like psychological thriller type things anyway.
Yes.
That's going to be right up your alley.
Yes. And I absolutely, like, I know there are like film adaptations of this, and now I would love to watch one because I'm sure it translates beautifully.
And you know, this book to me almost read like one of those six word horror story things, except it was like a short story.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like the same vibes.
Yes, it really was. Oh, yeah.
Like the call was coming from inside the house type
Ooh,
thing.
yes. And you know how we love spooky stuff here on the pod.
Yes.
But like I said, it's a short story. We are going to use SparkNotes again just to, as a little guide to walk us through some things to discuss. And we'll start by just going through a synopsis of this little story. So basically, it opens up. There is a lady like writing her thoughts in a journal. And she has moved into this new house, and it was like, oh, the rent was super cheap, even though it's like this really nice big house. Like, wow, like what a steal, basically. They're excited about it. And then she's like, but what's the catch? You know, like there has to be a catch. And she does kind of feel immediately like there's something weird about the place. And she's like, that must be why I have this nervous depression that she has. And oh, that's the thing too. It's like they're trying to like get away. They're trying to like help her be well because she's got like this nervous depression. Basically, it's probably like postpartum depression.
Yeah. Also gonna have like episodes.
Yeah. So her husband, who is a physician, is basically like, no, like there's nothing wrong with you. You just need to like rest and don't work and you'll feel better. And so he's like preventing her from doing any activity. And he doesn't even want her to write in her journal. Like she's writing secretly in her journal. But she basically is like, no, like this kind of thing makes me feel better. Like I feel better to be up and about, kind of writing in my journal, doing these things to get my mind off of these anxious, depressed thoughts I'm having. So she keeps writing in her journal, talking about the house, and she would prefer like to sleep downstairs where there's like this window that opens into the beautiful garden and get the fresh air. But her husband, John, stupid MF-er, is like, no.
John.
He's
Oh,
like,
sorry.
Those rooms are too small. Oh, yeah. We sorry, children.
We're trying to be better.
We're trying to
For you.
not curse on these too long didn't reads.
Just in case you kidlins out there need to use it.
So don't tell your parents. But he's like, no, we're gonna stay in this nursery on the top floor because the room's bigger. But she hates it because it's got this horrible ugly ass, sorry, ugly
wallpaper. We're not even drunk this time.
We're not even drunk. We're just foul mouthed. I don't know what to say. ugly wallpaper. And she hates it.
Yeah, it's actually horrid. Very off-putting. So as the first few weeks of summer pass, the narrator continues to like hide her journal, which again, I think it's very crazy how she can't even write. Like, what does he want her to do? Just
stare at the wallpaper.
Stare at the wall. So keeping like her true thoughts hidden, she really does want some more stimulating company. And she complains a few times. And John is just an asshole and very controlling. And he's like, no. You need to rest and heal your mind, you crazy, crazy lady. And so she takes a new interest in the oddly menacing wallpaper. Like she gets obsessed with it, like starts to almost, I don't know, see stuff in it. Maybe like she's starting to notice like patterns and different stuff like that. And she's like, okay, weird. And so basically, yeah, she does what he asks and she stares at the wall. every day. And John gets, a little worried about her fixation, but also refuses to repaper the room because he doesn't want to give in to her nervousness.
Yeah,
He's
he's
like,
like,
no,
we
you
don't
need
want to
to
like
fight it.
give any merit to this like crazy paranoia that you're having.
But at this point, like her imagination has just really taken over, and it does feed into like her overactive mind, which she has a history of apparently. And she goes on to describe the bedroom again, which she say must have been like a nursery for young children due to the fact that the paper is like torn off in spots. And it's like, wow, I'm glad my kid's not in here. This place
Yeah.
sucks. And there's like scratches and gouges in the floor, and the furniture is heavy and like fixed in place, and there's bars on the window. It's a prison.
Yeah.
It's a prison. And just as she begins to see a strange sub pattern behind the main design of the wallpaper, John's sister Jenny, who serves as a housekeeper and a nurse for the narrator, interrupts her writing, which I got beef with Jenny. She seems like a bitch.
Yeah, Jenny is an enabler for sure. So the 4th of July passes, and the narrator is reporting that her family was visiting, which made her like super worn out and tired. And that's honestly like good for her. I think she feels better when she's kind of tired because it kind of calms her imagination. But then her husband, who again is a major jerk, he threatens to send her to another physician. And this, it's funny because this physician, apparently the author like name dropped him. It's like the actual physician that like treated her like garbage in real
Oh
life.
my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the lady, she's spending her time alone in this room, and she kind of is like, she's starting to like the wallpaper a little bit. She's kind of befriending the wallpaper because it's, you know, her only form of entertainment and company. And it sort of becomes a personification of a woman inside the wallpaper. So she's studying these patterns. She sees a woman like stooping down and creeping behind the main pattern. And at nighttime, when she's looking at the wallpaper, it looks like this woman is trapped in a cage because she's like seeing the prints of the wallpaper as bars of a cage that the lady is trying to get out of. She becomes, again, just completely transfixed. Like this wallpaper is her new world. And so John kind of thinks like she's improving. He's like, wow, she doesn't really speak anymore. It's
It's
because she's
great.
hallucinating. Nonstop. She's never not hallucinating. But really, she's not doing better. She is not sleeping. She thinks she can smell the paper. She thinks she can see again a woman inside the paper who is trying to get out. And she just is getting worse and worse by the
Yeah.
day.
Like, thinks these women are trying to escape and like
Yeah.
leaves during the day. But not at night. Like at night,
Yeah,
she's
because
trapped.
she thinks that she sees the woman like creeping around the house in the daytime,
Yeah.
like on the outside. She catches glimpses of this woman in the window, the one who like lives in the wallpaper. It's wild.
It's scary. So now she's suspecting that, John and Jenny know of her obsession because they keep saying the yellow of the wallpaper is like rubbing off on your clothes and stuff and like blah, blah. And she's like, they're gonna take my fucking wallpaper.
The only thing I have left.
And so she's like, well, I'll beat them to it, and destroys the wall, like takes all the paper down, peeling off pretty much all of it one night. She's like, this is my last night in this house, one way or another. And while left alone the next day, she goes into something of a frenzy and is just like biting and tearing and ripping at this wallpaper,
She's like, I'll save you.
because she's trying to free this woman trapped inside. They're in our walls.
Literally.
She's in our walls,
And we have
and
to
by
help
the
her.
end, the narrator is hopelessly like insane. She's nuts, and is convinced that now there's multiple women creeping around, and she herself has become one of the women that crawls out of the wallpaper. Generations of women trapped in these walls.
That's a metaphor.
So she's just creeping around endlessly, just doing laps in this room, smudging the wallpaper as she goes. She's worn a track into it, and that's why the color has been smudging up on her, because she walks laps around the room, rubbing it off. And so when John, so she locks herself in there, throws away the key. She's like, this is it for me. And then John's like, I need to get in here. She's like, you can go get the key. And then he does, and he finds her just in a state of hysterics, faints in the doorway, and she just continues to creep over him every time she passes him.
Yeah, just crawling around the room. And I
And
love
that's
the way
it.
she says it too. She's like it's an inconvenience. She's like, oh, and he fainted on the floor, and now I have to creep over him like every single lap. And it's a real pain in my
Because to
ass.
her, this is like a reality.
Yeah, she's like, well, I have to creep around the room, and now he's in my way.
She's like, I am one with the wallpaper women now, and this is my lot in life.
It's honestly wholesome when you think about it.
Is it?
So
It.
that's the synopsis. And we are going to talk about some themes and symbols in this story. First off, one of the major themes in this story is the subordination of women in a marriage, because clearly the narrator of this story has no power, no autonomy within her marriage. Her husband, not only is he the man of the relationship, but he's also got like a kind of an authoritative role in society as well. He's a physician. And so it's really kind of the most like exaggerated version of a controlling, like, I know better than you type man. And of course, like, she is expected to follow his instructions implicitly and without question. So basically, this story is telling us that that's bad. That's not a good thing.
Men are
And
trash.
by keeping a woman oppressed like this, and by basically like stripping away their autonomy, by treating them like nothing more than an object or like a young child, you actually make things worse. And I mean, obviously, not everyone would become like actually clinically insane, but
Like she clearly had some other stuff going on beforehand, but
yeah, it's like an exaggeration. But like you destroy the mind, you destroy the spirit by doing those things.
also the importance of self-expression. So another thing that, was taken away from her was her ability to, like, she thought she wasn't able to write. And like her husband and her essential nanny both encouraged her not to write and to basically just sit and do nothing. And I think that's what ultimately drove her insane
Oh,
because all she
yeah.
had were her thoughts, this yellow wallpaper and a journal,
And a dream.
and a dream. And so yeah, just the silence and the idleness, I mean, that is enough to drive anybody insane. And the longer you do stare at something, the more you're gonna see your mind's gonna, start running rampant. And so just the idea of, the resting cure in general was wild, but also the lack of being able to do like what she wanted. Because if she had just been allowed to go out and get some fresh air in the garden, get some sunlight maybe,
Right? Like normal, healthy things.
she probably would have been fine.
I acknowledge that like they didn't know enough about treating mental illness at this point in time, but like surely this wasn't it. You know what I'm saying? Like at
Right.
least like get people outside, get them some fresh air.
Like, let her see her newborn child. Like,
Let
because,
her
like,
hold her infant.
on top of that, it's like now she's like secluded in this bedroom in silence and darkness. And like, people are just going on about their lives outside.
Yep,
And so
abandoning
she
her.
basically has to just create her own new one.
Yeah. And you know what else is interesting too is like this makes me think of how people just like it's a normal thing for people to be able to visualize faces and things, like pick out faces from patterns. And so this is just something that would happen naturally under any like normal circumstances. Like you look at something, you're like, oh, that kind of looks like a face.
Yeah,
But
I mean, we
like,
do it with clouds, we do it with like
yeah.
popcorn ceilings, like
Exactly. And like the longer you stare at something, the more you will pick out those type of like patterns
right.
that you recognize. So it's like that spiraled out of control, basically. And she had an imaginary friend in the wallpaper.
There's a woman churning butter on the wing of this plane.
Yeah. Another
Oh man.
great example of women being oppressed.
Hysterical women. And then last one, I mean, it's good to talk about the evils of the resting cure. Like you said, they didn't have like fantastic medical treatment. And I feel like this happened probably to a lot of women who were deemed crazy or mentally unwell. And I'm sure a lot of the time it did happen, after giving birth to a child, or people didn't really understand like postpartum depression at all. And so, like, it was either like you sit and do nothing, you gotta rest, or you get a lobotomy. And those are your options.
Or you go to a mental
You're on
hospital
heavy
and,
drugs.
or you get prescribed a vibrator.
Yeah.
Sorry, children. Sorry, I forgot. It's true. It
But yeah,
happened. Look it
it
up.
did happen.
It's
That's a
historical.
historical fact. That's history, baby.
That's history. You're welcome. You don't even need school anymore. But yeah, I think like it's cool. Like we mentioned, she does like name drop her actual physician, like the author did. And to his credit, this physician did actually take her criticism to heart and stopped prescribing the resting cure. He was like, okay, I hear you. I see you.
Yeah, that
Sounds
is
good.
cool.
So a man who listens, we stand.
I think that's awesome. I mean, maybe she is the one trapped in the walls. This is her,
Yeah, I
and
mean,
it's just a self
a little self-insert.
documentary.
Yeah. Lastly, we will touch on
Symbols.
some symbols. And the symbols are clear in this
Yes,
story.
it is.
The wallpaper itself is, of course, a symbol. And basically, this lady, she feels like this wallpaper has the answer to her question. She is like, I must understand the wallpaper. And then I will understand what's going on in my mind and I will be cured. At first, she kind of hates the wallpaper. She's like, it's ugly, it's ripped, it's dirty. And she is kind of like trying to figure out this pattern because it's, again, like really ugly. And she's like, that's unlike any pattern I've ever seen. So she stares at this paper for hours again. That's all she can do. Like she is just trapped in this room by herself. So she stares at this paper until she basically sees a non-existent pattern kind of coming to life behind the main pattern. And she can only see it in certain light because she's hallucinating it. But eventually that pattern comes into focus for her and she sees it as a woman who is constantly crawling around the room trying to find a way out of the wallpaper. Of which the main actual printed pattern is the bars of a cage. And so clearly, this wallpaper is representing the cage of her life, of her oppressors. Basically, her family has trapped her. And not only is her husband, in charge of her and everything, but he's also acting as her physician in this case.
Which is
And
not allowed.
well, yeah, they don't allow that in 2024, but. Also, like physician-patient relationships were very oppressive at this time as well, because you just like you did what the doctor said, doctor's orders, and also it's her husband. So it's kind of a double whammy of controlling oppressive
Yeah.
characters in her life.
She had no chance. So, in addition to like the wallpaper and its pattern, the color of it is also very, very important. So, it was just like a repulsive shade of yellow. And like typically, symbolically, when you see yellow, it's supposed to represent like freshness and happiness and like cleanliness, stuff like that. It's supposed to evoke positive feelings.
Like
Whereas
sunshine.
this, like just the shade they had chosen was like incredibly off-putting and unsettling.
Kind of like rotten.
Yeah, and that kind of highlights the disconnect between like the expectation reality, because it does go into a little bit about like the culture of women. So like it's a direct reflection of like her and her willingness to accept like her role as like the woman in the house. In addition to like the repulsive color, there was also a smell that was associated with it. So it smelled like yellow, but because it was that shade of yellow, what I can imagine is that it was probably like a rotten egg type
Yes.
smell. Like
Like
it was,
sulfuric.
yeah, rotten, just spoiled. And again, that shows like she kind of viewed herself almost as like rotten and spoiled herself because she wasn't able to like meet those ideals that were set for her.
Yeah, not fitting into her
Her
womanly,
role.
motherly role. But yeah, that basically wraps it up.
That's
It's a
it.
short one, and I highly
Packs a
recommend you
punch.
read it. It sure does. It's a good one. But join us next week as we discuss Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood. We are both
Guys, I'm
just
pumped.
so excited, you don't
I'm
even know.
pumped.
And then the week after that, we are actually going to be reading a little novella.
Called Her Billionaire Stalker by Emma Bray.
We have no clue if it's going to be good. We basically looked up novellas on Goodreads and we found this one. So, Her Billionaire Stalker. We'll be
By
reading
Emma
that
Bray.
by Emma Bray. So, go ahead, get started on those books. We'll talk to you next time. And as always,
Let's get lit.